Ever been told something is impossible? You can't do that. It's unable to be done. And yet there are many things that once were thought impossible, now not only are possible, but are relatively common. How many of you have ever been in an airplane? Flight was once thought impossible, and yet many of us have flown here and there. Ed and Nancy have recently flown to the other side of the world, to Australia, and we take that for granted. It's common. We have sent rockets to the moon and to Mars. Used to be live television. Rockets to Mars are kind of no big deal anymore. Talking over long distances. Now with video. Used to be impossible, now it's quite possible. But even with wonderful technology, we are still very much limited. You have 1,440 minutes in a day. That doesn't change much. Waffles maybe just a little bit, few seconds, but that's it. 1,444 minutes in a day, 365 days of year. That's it. Time is a huge limitation. How much time will you have? We don't know. Our bodies are limited. If you are here, it means what? You're not there. You're nowhere else. Now, you mentally might be somewhere else, but you're physically here. It's impossible to be in two places at one time. Our condition is limiting. You're male or female. You have a history that's unique to you. You have experiences that are unique to you. Even when you grew up in the same family, I'm convinced that no two siblings ever grew up in the same family, because they experience family differently. We already heard that today from our Sunday school teacher, who talked about three children, three brothers, and they were quite different. They experienced their family differently. Many of us are ignorant, and we are ignorant of much, and a lot of it, we don't even know that we're ignorant about it. We are very limited. But what about God? What are his limitations? Well, he's infinite, which means he's not limited in space. He's not finite, he's infinite. He is eternal. No limits in time. We consider God to be all-powerful. There's nothing he can't do. He is all-knowing. There are no secrets. So the Children's Catechism asks, can God do all things? I don't know if any of you are teaching your children the Children's Catechism. Any of you children know the answer to that? Can God do all things? Yes, God can do all his holy will. He can do all his holy will. Nothing is impossible with God. And so faith believes God's promises, no matter how far-fetched, how fantastic, how improbable or even impossible they may seem. Because faith takes hold of God's power. And this is the testimony of Sarah. So from Hebrews chapter 11, just two verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. By faith, Sarah. Now, when we first meet Sarah back in Genesis chapter 11, so Genesis 11, not Hebrews 11, what do we find out? She is barren. She had no child. That's about the first thing we're told about her. And then we're told in chapter 12 that she was beautiful. In fact, at 65, she was so beautiful that Abraham was afraid that the Egyptians would kill him to get her. Now, this isn't just a husband being kind about his wife. So turn to Genesis 12, and I want you to have your Bibles in Genesis because we're going to kind of follow the Sarah story through these chapters. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 11, he says, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. And then what do you find out? Well, in verse 14, when Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. So she's barren, and she is beautiful. Now, for whatever reason, God had prevented Sarah from having children. And in a culture where children were treasured, because children gave promise for the future, where children provided security for the future, barrenness was a curse. And then when you set this into a broader historical redemptive context, what was the promise to Eve? That there would be a seed of the woman. And barrenness would say, that seed is not coming through you. And this was the hope, that that Savior would come. And so Sarah and Abraham passed through their childbearing years disappointed. And in fact, in chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, we discover that Eliezer of Damascus, one born in Abraham's house, would inherit all that Abraham has. And Abraham is massively wealthy. And it's into that context that God spoke. Into an impossible situation came a promise. Abraham, at age 75, is told in Genesis 12, he will become a great nation. He has no child. He's 75 years old, and he's told by God, you will become the father of a great nation. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And just so that Abraham wouldn't miss it, the promise is reiterated in chapter 15 at verse 4. Not Eliezer. He will not inherit. But you will have your own son. He will be the heir. And what are we told? That Abraham believed God. He's 75 years old. His wife is 65. And Abraham believed God. No doubt Abraham would have shared that news with Sarah. Even if it seemed impossible and fantastic. How could this be? And then 10 years goes by. Promises have been made and nothing happens in 10 years. So as crazy as that promise may have sounded when Sarah was 65, she's now 75. And if we looked improbable before, now it's ludicrous, if not laughable. I didn't have a child when I could physically have one, and now I'm 65. Now she's 75. And so in chapter 16, she suggests an alternative. And in fact, in Genesis 16, verse 2, "Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." The barrenness of Sarah is what marked her life. And it comes up again and again and again and again. And sometimes hope in a promise can falter. And yet, there is nothing in the promises that God has made that indicates that Sarah would be the mother necessarily. That detail has not yet been revealed. So the word could be fulfilled by surrogacy. Not uncommon in that culture. We heard a little earlier today in our Sunday school about the importance of culture and some of these ideas. It's not uncommon. We think, what is going on? How could Sarah possibly suggest to her husband, "Hey, you should go into my servant Hagar and have a child by her"? That sounds so foreign to us. Yet it's not uncommon. And if you think it's uncommon, keep reading in Genesis and you come to the Jacob story. And Jacob has a couple of wives. And each of those wives along the way gives her servant to Jacob to have more children. So it's clearly not uncommon. Sarah, in one sense, is thinking rationally. Not yet thinking perhaps by faith, but rationally. And Abraham agrees. And sadly, it didn't turn out as hoped. The decision results in a son, yes. And his name is Ishmael. But it results in trauma. There's conflict that gets introduced into the family. There is disrespect. There's anger and ultimately abuse. And eventually, Hagar and Ishmael will be turned out. They're sent away. God has made promises to you. Some of them might seem fairly far-fetched. But do you believe them? Do you trust God? Can you wait for His timing? Sarah was asked to wait. Abraham was asked to wait. We sang in Psalm 119 about waiting. I don't know about you, but I don't typically like to wait. Some of us maybe get irritated and waiting in line. Some of us get irritated when the computer takes a little longer to connect to the internet. Remember, dial up. Get over it. But we get used to things, and it may be that we need to repent of our impatience. It may be that some of us need to repent of our unbelief. But in singing Psalm 78 that we started with, we sing of the unbelief of the fathers in the wilderness, and then there's a but. But still, God gave them food, even in their unbelief, because God is gracious and God is good and God is patient. God is never in a hurry. 13 years will pass after Ishmael is born, and God will again repeat the promise. Turn now to chapter 16. 16:16. Hagar bore Abram a son. Abram called his name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Next verse. When Abram was 99 years old. Do the math. How many years passed between those two verses? What's that? 13. 13 years is two verses. And then what? There's a new promise. Look at verse 15. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Laughter, Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." Sarah would bear a son. Sarah would bear a son. And notice verse 1 of 17. Abram was 99, and the Lord said to him, "I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. I am the one who can do all things. I can do the improbable, and I can do the impossible." But how their faith must have been tried. 24 years of waiting. "I will give you children." And then they're called to wait. And the promise is now repeated. It's almost too much. And so Abraham laughs. He's wrestling with what he's called to believe. And he laughs. Will a child be born to a man 100 years old when Sarah's 90? Would they really have a son? Paul, commenting on this in Romans chapter 4, says, in hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No, unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Are you convinced that God is able to do what he has promised? Can you wait? Paul says that this happened in the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. This is the power of God. He gives life to the dead and he calls into being things that do not exist. See, it's okay to wrestle with God's promises, as long as you do so in faith. Sometimes he asks for a really big believe. And that's what he asked of Abraham and Sarah. So again, put yourself in Sarah's place. Chapter 18, verses 11 and 12. Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, you did laugh. She's worn out, well beyond childbearing. And so, like Abraham, she too laughed. The promise just seems so far out there. This doesn't happen. But God is not just all-powerful. He is also merciful and kind. And he meets us where we are. So God gently rebukes Sarah. Why did she laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a question for you and for me and for us. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That is correct. So even in that question, in how he's interacting with her, he is summoning forth faith. He's calling on Sarah to believe. Because this promise now is no longer something indefinite regarding the far future. It's this time next year. It's now become far more specific. And Sarah believes. And so by faith, Sarah received power to conceive, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And here's the narrative in Genesis 21. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, laughter, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The nervous laughter of unbelief is turned into the laughter of a joy realized. Barren grief gives way to bountiful gladness. Who would believe it? And yet this is what our God does. Sarah took hold of the power of God by faith and became a mother of nations and kings, just as God said she would. By faith, she has become our mother. As really and truly as Abraham is our father, through a child of promise, through laughter, Isaac, but ultimately through another child of promise, Jesus, who was born to a woman who was not married, who didn't know a man. You would never describe Mary as barren. But another birth, miraculously ordained of God, brings another child of promise who will save the world. But apart from the promise of God and the working of the Spirit of God, Sarah could do nothing. It really was physically impossible for her to have a child. And so what she finds, the source of her fruitfulness comes through faith in God who promised. And that is true for us as well. Our fruitfulness comes from the Lord. That's the only way it comes. That's why Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. And that's what Sarah learned, how to abide in God. And she bore fruit. So take hold of him by faith. God is faithful. And as he has promised, so he will do. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Our God is the one who called the worlds into being by the word of his power. He gives children to those as good as dead. And then he raises those who truly are dead. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So this text then calls us to faith. It calls us to take hold of the power of God in Christ Jesus. First off, to believe the gospel. To believe the good news in Jesus Christ. Because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And if you don't yet believe, this calls you to believe that Jesus has come into the world, that he has fulfilled all righteousness, and that he died and was buried and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And in him there is pronounced the forgiveness of sins. Believe the gospel. But we know that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But for us who are being saved, It is the power of God. The same power that enabled Sarah to conceive. It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It is the power that will also raise you. It's the power that will give life to your mortal body after it passes away. At that last day, you will hear the voice of the Son of Man and come back to life, resurrected. Don't lose heart. Sarah waited 25 years. You may also need to wait. But grow strong in the waiting. We've been being repeatedly reminded of 2 Peter. God is not slow about keeping his promises, but he's waiting. And for what is he waiting? That all might come to repentance and faith. Confess your doubts. Seek the Lord. Call upon his name. Wait for the Lord. Believe that he will save. That's why he came. Some of us are praying for a short list of 5 to 10 persons we long to see him work in. Keep praying. Keep doing good things. Do not lose heart. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Lord, we bless you for what you did in Sarah. Thank you for her example of faith, that she believed the promise and she laughed, because at the outset it seemed crazy. And yet that's what you do. You do the unexpected. Like coming to Mary and say, you're going to have a child. She says, how is that possible? Since I don't know a man, the Holy Spirit will do it. And you said, Jesus, that in 3 days I will rise from the dead. People said, that can't happen. And you did it. And so you have said that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We have been told that all things and all your enemies will be made a footstool for your feet. And we wonder, how is that possible? We don't yet see it. And you simply say, wait for it. Wait for it. The just will live by faith. And so we wait. And we join in that waiting along with Abraham and Sarah, to wait for you to fulfill your promises. And we're going to wait until that grand promise is fulfilled, in which we will inherit a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Lord Jesus, hasten the day of your coming, that we might enter into the culmination of all things in that glorious kingdom.